Okay, so we're in Perek Lamed Hey, the 35th chapter. We're on page, over here, it's page 88. Do you have it there? Masha Enke in a mitzvah, it's the second line from the top. Do you have it, Lisa? Yeah. Okay. So let's just recap. So we started this perek, and he started off with explaining more or giving more explanation and emphasis on the word la'asoisei, to do mitzvahs, right? Because the Tanya was based on the pasuk that everything's accessible to you in your mouth, in your heart, and la'asoisei. And we see there's a special emphasis there on the observance of mitzvahs. So he explains it in the following way. He brought from the Zohar someone called the Yanuka. Yanuka was the son of, Rabbi Amnuna Saba, I think. And he said, he commented on the pasuk that the wise person, ha-chacham einav b'roshei, the chacham, the wise person has his eyes on that which is in his head or on his head. And he said that's why people should wear a yarmulke and sort of not go, you know, because why? You have to be conscious of the Shekhinah, the divine presence, which is on top of your head. And then he said that basically the outcome was the following, that the divine presence is compared to like a flame, and that's on top of the head. The body of the person, the body of the Jew, is like the wick, and it needs oil. Right? It needs oil so that the Shekhinah can actually rest within us and on top of us. Yeah. And what's the oil? He said the oil is mitzvahs, actions, good deeds, right? And he said, interestingly enough, because it doesn't really fit the analogy, because the analogy is that the wick is something which is a bit coarse, so the wick cannot sustain the flame. That's how we spoke about last week. But what it could do is, it could do it if you have oil, because oil is a much more refined substance, and that's like the connection between the wick and the flame, right? So over here, we'd imagine that if you want a wick between the body and the flame, which is the Shekhinah, the divine presence, you would go for more spiritual things like learning Torah, davening, love of Hashem, fear of Hashem, whatever. And he says, no, it's mitzvahs. Why? So we started to explain last week that he said before that because even a tzaddik, and we're going to develop more today, but even a tzaddik, even a person who's very steeped in love of Hashem and fear of Hashem and so on, at the end of the day, that tzaddik is a person, right? He might be a very refined person, a very holy person, an unbelievable person, but he's not good enough to be a wick. Why is that? Because he is a person at the end of the day that's still is separate from Hashem. You don't have the absolute, total bittul. He hasn't lost his identity, right? He hasn't lost identity completely. And this is where you need mitzvahs, and this is what he's saying today. So let's see. We'll take it a little bit slowly and try and understand it. So he says, "Masha ein keina mitzvahs, not so when it comes to mitzvahs, umaisim toivim and good deeds. When a person does a mitzvah, shehein ritzoino yisbarach. Mitzvahs are the will of Hashem." All right. What we're going to learn is that when you do a mitzvah, the bond with Hashem is total. It's completely bond, completely one. In other words, it actually reveals the complete oneness in Hashem, that the connection to Hashem is that our identity, at least with the power that we do the mitzvah with, becomes completely absorbed in Hashem's reality, and it's only Hashem. There's no separate entity. There's no separate identity. Now, we'll have to understand what that means, because obviously when we do mitzvahs, we're still very much ourselves, right? But that's the concept. Why is that the concept? Because mitzvahs are the will of Hashem. So, therefore, so he explains. Ritzoino yizbarech, the will of Hashem. Now, we've learned this before. Let me just explain a little bit. This idea of ritzoin, the idea of will, right? There's different levels of will. There's different levels of ritzoin. But Ratzon is the even by us. Ratzon is us, right? More than other things. So, for example, when we have wisdom or we have emotions, that's us who have the emotion. Ratzon is like us. It's just us, right? It's a manifestation of what we want, of what we are, right? And Chassidus uses the language that Ratzon is hatoyas hanefesh. Ratzon is just the soul itself, like turning towards something, right? Now, we know that generally, uretzoyno yizbarach, the will of Hashem, who mocker hachayim l'chol o'ilim esfavre. It's the will of Hashem that is really the source of everything that exists, right? We know there's a pasuk that says, we say it in Hallel, kol asher chofetz Hashem oso. Everything that Hashem wanted, He made, right? So in literal translation, that means whatever He wanted, He made, whatever He wanted, He didn't make, right? But Chassidus says, no, it's deeper than that. It means that all that Hashem wanted, the want of Hashem, becomes the source of that thing coming into being, right? Because we say that by Hashem, if He wants something, it happens. In other words, not like us, we may want something, but it might never happen. We still have to think about it and plan it and ask someone to help us and make it happen, have the money to pay for it, and so on, right? So it's not necessarily that from our will it's going to happen. When it comes to Hashem, kol asher chofetz, whatever Hashem wants, happens. Because that's, if He wants it, that's Him, and it happens. Only thing is that when it comes to the rest of the world, everything that exists in the world comes from the Ratzon of Hashem, but sheyoreid aleihem, that Ratzon, that will of Hashem, comes down to those creations al yedei tzimtzumim rabim, through many levels of tzimtzum. He actually says three expressions here. Tzimtzumim rabim, lots of levels of tzimtzum, which is holding something back. Hester ponim, shel ratzon elyon, the concealment of the supernal will, Hashem hides Himself. The yiridas hamadregas, and also the fact that He's coming down to such a low level. We're not going to go in too much to what these three things mean, but essentially it's like this, right? First of all, let's understand why we need these levels of tzimtzum, because the ratzon of Hashem, the will of Hashem, is enough to make something happen. The only thing is, if something happens from the direct ratzon of Hashem, then it won't exist. It'll just be a part of Hashem's ratzon. Hashem wanted to have a world that has an independent existence, independent identity, right? There wouldn't be that independent identity if there was no tzimtzum. So if Hashem just wanted something that happened, then that thing would just feel as if it doesn't exist, and it's just part of Hashem's reality, like the truth actually is. That's the idea of the oneness of Hashem that we explained so much in the last couple of shiurim, right? So in order to make sure that there should be an existence, there should be a world, there should be a person, there should be a table, there should be a chair, that has its own identity, so to speak, seemingly outside of Hashem's reality, you need a tremendous amount of levels of tzimtzum. Tzimtzum means just like when a teacher, for example. So if you have a teacher, a very smart teacher, that's going to teach a small child, right? I mean, obviously the interpretation of that moshav Hashem is infinitely broader than that. But even a simple moshav, a very, very, very smart person that's going to teach a child maths, right? This person's a professor of mathematics, right? So first of all, tzimtzum, he needs to hold back most of his knowledge. If he would teach all his knowledge to the child would just not exist in the mathematical sense. We just wouldn't know what he's talking about. There wouldn't be the creation that you're looking for, right? There wouldn't be the understanding that you're looking for. So therefore, first of all, he has to really find something within his knowledge that can relate to the child. And even then, he's got to bring it down or water it down. He's got to hide the intensity and the depth behind it. And he's got to speak about it in a certain way that it can come down to the really, really low level. Because even if he finds the idea, but that idea itself can be understood on a high level, a low level. So therefore, he's got to really find the words that it can be presented and delivered to a very, very low level of intellect, right? Same thing with Hashem. He has a ratzon. The ratzon creates the world. But it's got to go through all these levels of tzimtzum. Okay. Until it's possible to be created or to exist and to be created, yesh ma'ayin, something from nothing, and it should be a dover nifrad bifne atzvoy, and it should be something separate on its own, something with an independent identity, independent separateness, lo yibatl bimetzius kanal, and so that it won't just disintegrate or be completely dismantled because it's just part of Hashem's reality and therefore doesn't really exist as independent existence. However, that's true of the rest of the world. Masha'en kein b'mitzvahs. Masha'en kein ha-mitzvahs. That's not true with the mitzvah. Why? A mitzvah is never diluted. A mitzvah is always Hashem's rotzen, undiluted. Unzimtzumt. Why is that? Because a mitzvah is not... because as we learned once before, and I'll explain it now, a mitzvah, there's two types of rotzen. So we say rotzen runs very deep. A rotzen comes from a person's will. That's what guides the whole person, right? But there's two types of rotzen. One is pnimius rotzen, the other one is chitzonius rotzen, the essence of the rotzen and the externalities of the rotzen. External rotzen or internal rotzen, whatever you translate it. For example, a person works, wants to work, very much wants to work, determined to work, strong rotzen, and therefore he works, guides his work, he guides his what he does. In other words, he finds a job, he's dedicated, he comes on time, he works, he's innovative, he's creative, he gets a promotion, whatever, he really, really wants to work, right? But that rotzen, as strong as it might be, and if a person has a very strong rotzen, he could be successful, I mean, with Hashem's help, of course, but, right? But that's not his pnimius rotzen. That's not what he really wants. What does he really want? He wants money, right? So he can live. He doesn't really want to work. I'm not talking about people that work because they want to help people now. I'm talking about he wants to work because he wants to earn money. He wants to earn a living. He wants to earn a good living, right? So the rotzen is a strong rotzen. It's a strong will, and it'll guide the way he thinks. He'll plan. He'll innovate. He'll be passionate about it. He'll be functional about it, and so on. But that rotzen is called external rotzen. Because it's not, he wants it because he wants something else. Right? The creation of the world by Hashem, the whole world, the whole existence, is not what Hashem really wants. He doesn't want a world. He wants the Yidden to do mitzvahs in a world so that he can dwell here. Right? It's not the world that he wants. It's the living in the world through the mitzvahs of the Yidden. That's what he wants. That's pnimius rotzen. That's what he really wants. Is that? The pnimius rotzen Hashem, what Hashem really wants, can't be diluted. It's mamash him. That's it. It's him. The end game, the goal. And when that gets fulfilled, there's nothing hiding there. That is Hashem. That's the oneness of Hashem. And when there's no tzimtzum, what is there? Achdus Hashem, just the oneness of Hashem. Oneness of Hashem means everything else is completely bottled to Him. Everything's part of His oneness. Right? And that's a mitzvah. When a person does a mitzvah, he's connecting to the pnimius harotzen of Hashem, right? The inner essence of the will of Hashem. So he says, "B'shein ken ha-mitzvus, shein pnimius retzoyne yizbarech, and v'ein shom hester ponim klal." And therefore, there's no hiding there. There's no concealment.
Taught us in the earlier days that the Torah itself is
Tzimtzum.
The Torah
we... Yeah, the Torah is Tzimtzum, yeah, but actually even there. No, but you see, we learned a different thing. First of all, there's a part, Torah is higher than mitzvahs, but there's a part that mitzvahs are higher than Torah, but anyway, that's something else. But the action of the mitzvah is just, Hashem wants this action. It's not, this is what he wanted. He wanted the Shabbos candle to be lit by Yid. There's no. Now, in the intellectual of Torah, there is something that you. I know what you're saying, because in the very, very beginning, we learned that the Torah came down like water from one level to the next. That's why the Torah starts with a base, because the second level of Torah.
But in the contrary, the moshel he gave there was different. The moshel he gave there is that when you embrace the Torah, when you understand the Torah, it's like hugging a king who's wearing 10 jackets. But you still have the king there. You understand? It's just the terminology. The Torah is not diluted. It's different to the rest of the world. Yes, the Torah did travel down to talk to us and relate to us and so we can understand it. So it's what the Torah is packaged in, but it's the same Torah. Torah is not affected at all. Right? When you learn Torah, you're connecting to the same godliness as God. Right? So let's just finish the sentence and I'll explain. It says, Ein Shom Hester Ponim Klal, there's no concealment. Ein Hachayesh Shabhem, the energy, the life force, right? That you put into the mitzvah, it's not separate. It's not a Dover Nifal Bifna Atzmakal, it's not separate from him. Elam Yuchud V'Nichal B'Ritzayna Yizbarach. It becomes completely absorbed in the oneness of Hashem. It becomes, there's a oneness with Hashem that is with a complete oneness. In other words, like this. When you have, everything's from Hashem. Everything's part of the oneness with Hashem. Just you don't feel it, right? We feel something separate because of the tzimtzum, because of the Esther, right? When you do a mitzvah, what is the mitzvah? It's the will of Hashem. Not only the will of Hashem, it's the pnimius ratzon of Hashem. It's the inner essence of Hashem's will. Right?
Different levels, though, of doing a mitzvah. Sometimes you do a mitzvah because you're scared not to, and other times you do it because you really want to, and other times you might do it because if you do that, then something else will.
Okay, I think the best way to explain this is, let me do it outside before we do it inside, because I want to give you the whole picture, right? What he's explaining here is an unbelievable thing. And it's the power of a mitzvah at any level. Why? Now, does that mean that we shouldn't have kavanah? Does that mean we shouldn't strive to do? I mean, I'll make your question better. I mean, surely a big tzaddik who does a mitzvah with all the kavanah and he understands the mitzvah and he really gets it and all that kind of stuff, right? So surely that's greater, right? And like, what did he say before? He said before an amazing thing. He said that when we do a mitzvah, there's a certain bittul, there's a certain connection with the oneness of Hashem, that even a tzaddik who's so spiritual and so godly and he loves Hashem and he has an open love for Hashem, an open fear of Hashem, he can't reach that. Right? Why? So it goes like this. And I'm going to answer your question, but let me explain what he's going to say later. Even the great tzaddik, right, who reaches the level of love of Hashem, why does he love Hashem? Why? Because he learns, he understands. He understands godliness, he understands that. It's amazing, yeah? And he appreciates it much more than we can appreciate. So he has this feeling of complete bittul to Hashem, right? But it's all coming from him. It's his existence. His existence, right? He is still he. Now, he's infinitely greater than us, but he's still a person. It's still someone becoming bottled to Hashem, right? I just heard, I was listening this morning to Rabbi Yoel Kahn, he has Shiurim on Tanya, and I always try to listen as we're learning because he comes up with such beautiful insights. He's following Moshe. He says, let's say a person that he goes in front of a king, and suddenly he realizes, a simple person, or big person, whatever it is. And he realizes in front of the king, and he suddenly realizes, oh, who, I'm in front of the king, right? And he completely loses himself. He sees himself, oh, the king. To the point, he loses himself and he faints. Let's say he faints, right? So, like a real asked the question, did the king command him to faint? No, right? He didn't faint because the king told him to faint. He fainted because he brought himself to the point that he was so scared in front of the king that he fainted, right? Or if you have a very big chacham, a very wise person, he really understands the king's wisdom, and the king, and he's so close to the king, he just feels his whole life is king-centered, it's just all about the king. But it's about him becoming close to the king, right? It's about him, yeah? When a person does a mitzvah, he's doing not what he's doing. He's not doing, when he does the action of the mitzvah, he's doing what the king told him to do. There's an action in that mitzvah that is not about him at all. Right? Which is about more than by learning and more by davening and more than by all these things. He's doing it because the king told him to do it. It could be he understands nothing about the mitzvah. In fact, I'll share with you a whole idea. Okay, it might take a while, but it doesn't matter. We're not in a rush, right? In fact, it could be that a person who understands less has an advantage. That doesn't mean you shouldn't learn, but because he actually doesn't understand, he actually doesn't know why he's doing it. Why is he doing it? Because Hashem said so. So who is it about? Is it about him? No, nothing to do with him. It's all about Hashem. Yeah? So I'm going to share with you an idea. Rabbi Yoel explained this also. I'll share with you. There's a contradiction. He's asked a question. There's a chasich of the Rebbe, where the Rebbe asks a contradiction between two places in Chassidus, right? You know, on davening in Yontif, we're coming up to Yontif soon, we complain in the Musaf, we complain that there's no Beis HaMikdash, and we say the following, we say, V'ein onu yecholim, we are not able to go to the Beis HaMikdash, lirois, to see it, ulishtachavois lefonecha, to bow down in front of you. Right? The word mishtachave, by the way, to bow down, means completely bow down, to prostrate, like to go, like that. I used to do that in the Beis HaMikdash, on Yom Kippur particularly. Right? What is it a symbol of? In the Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't just a symbol, it wasn't just a ritual, it was a true thing. That because they saw the greatness of the Beis HaMikdash, they lost themselves completely. They were totally bottled to Hashem. They were surrendered, top to bottom. Right? What they call in Gemara, Pishut Yadayim Viraglayim. The head, the heart, the feet, all on the same level. Because they're just totally, they're not thinking about themselves, they're thinking about Hashem. Okay. So the Alter Rebbe says in a Maimer, right? The Alter Rebbe says in a Maimer, why is that? Because in the Beis HaMikdash they saw it. If you look in the phrase of davening, it says, we were not able to see. Because that level of bittul comes from seeing. They had to see Hashem's presence. They had to feel it. They had to appreciate it. They had to understand it. And that understanding, that seeing, just brought them totally to become surrendered and bottled, and they were able to bow down, not just physically, but spiritually. Right? Which is now we can't do that because we don't see. Hashem is not revealed now. The Beis HaMikdash is much more revealed. Now he's not revealed. So therefore we're not able to do it, right? So the Rebbe asked the question, that's a very nice idea, but actually in Chassidus we learn the other way around. Chassidus says that there's a greatness in the bittul that happens in Golus that's not in the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash they were bottled because they understood, they saw, they appreciated, they felt. In Golus, why do we do mitzvahs? Because Hashem said so. I don't know, because we don't feel anything, but we do it. Because we know that we have to do it, but Hashem is in charge, right? So on one hand, it's a greater bittul. It's a greater surrender, right? So what's the pshat? And explaining this also explains why you need both. This is not coming to negate the aspiration to learn and to daven and to be spiritual and to have love of Hashem, God forbid. So like this, So the Rebbe explains there's a thing called the essence of bittul, mahusa bittul, and then the kamusa bittul, which means the quantity of bittul. Okay. In the Beis HaMikdash, because it also explains what he's saying here. What does it mean? Like when we do a mitzvah, yes, it's very nice to say that we're the total bittul, but we're not. I mean, we go back, we still want to enjoy our pizza tonight. Like it's not like we saw a bottle, right? Okay. So like this. In the Beis HaMikdash, there was a high level of bittul. But not only just a high level of bittul, the quantity of bittul was unbelievable. In other words, that bittul, because they saw, and because they learned, or today, someone who's on a higher level sees more and understands more and learns more, a tzaddik, right? A rebbe, whatever, right? Yes, so it's true. The advantage of their bittul is, and that's what the Alter Rebbe says in the one mimer, is because they saw, they were able to bow down. What does bow down mean? It means that the entire being was bottled. Bowing down means that your head is bottled, and your emotions are bottled, and your everything, your power of action, your behavior, your emotions, everything about you is bottled. But the bittul is permeated your whole body. Why? Because you internalize it, because you understand it, because you see it. Right? So no question when the Alter Rebbe says that that bittul is only around the Beis HaMikdash, where we don't have in Ein Golos, that's he's talking about the quantity of bittul. In other words, the impact of the bittul. Means the whole person is bottled, especially when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? On the other hand, there's something we have today, which is a deeper bittul, but the quantity is less. When a yid today does a mitzvah, the bittul is greater than the Beis HaMikdash. Because he doesn't see and he doesn't understand. And he still does the mitzvah, he still goes, and maybe he doesn't even want. Doesn't even want to do it. He's lazy. I really have to do this, I really have to get here. But he does it because Hashem said so, right? So there's a deeper bittul there, but a wise deeper bittul because it's totally not about him. Which is what Alter Rebbe says in the beginning of here. And always the tzaddik with all his love and all his bittul is about him still. I mean, such a him is a different kind of him, but still, at the end of the day, it's still about the person. That's his identity. When a simple yid nowadays doesn't understand anything and maybe doesn't even want to and he doesn't even appreciate it, but he puts some tefillin or he lights a Shabbos candle or he gives tzedakah because Hashem said so, it's all about Hashem. But, the downside is, it's the power of action that's all about Hashem. What he does is all about Hashem. So yes, the bittul is affecting his behavior. It's not affecting the rest of him. He's still thinking about his business deal that he wants to do later on in the day. Yeah. And he's still thinking about his own affairs. He doesn't suddenly feel completely one with Hashem. But in one part of him, i.e. his behavior, he's more bottled to Hashem than the Yid in the Beis HaMikdash. Understand? So in your question, surely there's a high level of mitzvah? Of course there is. The high level of mitzvah means, because ultimately Hashem wants that bittul to spread to the rest of our body, right? The rest of our being, to the rest of our human experience. Yeah, so of course, that's why we need love of Hashem. And we need fear of Hashem, and we need to constantly learn, and we need to constantly daven, and we need spirituality, we need all those things. That's really only because we need that bittul that we have when we do a mitzvah to try and spread a little bit to the rest of us. Okay, so we try our best. Today we really don't have such a high level of that at all. We don't have full-blown love of Hashem and fear of Hashem. That was in olden times, that's great people, or in ancient times, the Beis HaMikdash. So today it's more about commitment today. It's more about obedience, more about Mesiris Nefesh today. But we have to try our best. We have to try our best that the heart should feel and the head should understand and we should make our life about godliness as much as we possibly can. That's what Chassidus teaches us to do. Because we understand the oneness of Hashem, so we need the oneness of Hashem to at least impact the rest of us, not just to divorce that one mitzvah with everything else of us, right? In other words, ultimately we have to run a God-centered life, but we're going to feel that bittul in everything. It's hard today, right? But a little bit, we try, we aspire. But nevertheless, the bittul of doing the mitzvah, that action and the energy that goes into that action, that part of us that is making the mitzvah happen, that part of us creates an unbelievable oneness with Hashem. And that's really the point here. This is the point, right? I'll tell you, it's an interesting thing. I just learned the sikha this week, Parshas Ekev. This week's Parshas, interesting, right? It's a sikha that the Rebbe said in 1989.
Toshim Bemtes, on Shabbos. And he asks, he brings the famous thing, this week's parasha is Akev. The Torah says, Akev Tishmun, if you listen to Hashem, Hashem will reward you. And the problem is, what's the idea of Akev? Akev. Why don't you use the word Akev? Akev means a heel. So he brings two explanations. One is Akev means the end, it means the end of time, Mashiach's times, right? And Rashi brings, Akev means that Hashem is promising us, not if you just do mitzvahs, but particular mitzvahs. Which mitzvahs? Mitzvahs that a person thinks is unimportant. He steps on them with his heel. That's what Akev means. Steps on them with his heel. Yeah, it's not so important. This one is okay. Yeah, okay. Shabbos, Kashrus, but this is a simple. And if you keep those mitzvahs, Hashem says, right. It's a long sikh, I'm not going to go into the whole thing now, but the point of it is Rebbe connects the two explanations. And he develops a whole idea also about Hashem. What does it mean Hashem rewards us for mitzvahs? How can you reward someone for a mitzvah? A mitzvah is so infinitely great, there's no reward. Not even, not this world for sure not, and not even the world to come. Right? Can you compare? I mean, yes, yeah, we get reward, the world to come, we will be able to understand Hashem better. All nice, but really does it come to what the mitzvah accomplishes? And he goes through the whole thing based on the Rebbe Marash. That actually the real reward for a mitzvah is the mitzvah. Or, differently put, the real reward for a mitzvah is another mitzvah. Mitzvah gereres mitzvah. Why? Because the real reward for a mitzvah, any reward Hashem can give us is nice for us. It gives us nachas ruach, it gives us enjoyment, spiritual enjoyment, godly enjoyment could be even, right? Or physical enjoyment, but the real reward for a mitzvah is to come to a level where we can appreciate and understand Hashem's pleasure. The nachas that Hashem gets from our mitzvah. That's something that's beyond us completely. And that ultimately Mashiach comes, Rebbe Marash says that it's going to be revealed. That we'll graduate from what he calls the nachas ruach of the nivra. That we'll graduate from the enjoyment and the appreciation of the creation to understand the nachas ruach of the creator. Right? And that's why that's the real mitzvah. I, Hashem, says in the Sefer Parshas, going to give us physical reward. So he says, that's just because, like the Rambam says, he's going to give us physical reward so we can do more mitzvahs. So we can have the peace of mind to do more mitzvahs. The reward of a mitzvah is another mitzvah. A mitzvah is so great. It's such a deep connection with Hashem. Like he says, it's such a bittul to Hashem. It's such an unbelievable thing to Hashem, and Hashem loves it so much, etc. That's the mitzvah. That's the reward. Then he says, in that itself, the greatest mitzvah is the mitzvah that we just ignore. That we stamp, the mitzvah that we stamp, that we trample on. So I'm thinking, why? Because same thing. The mitzvah that we don't think is important, which means we don't mix ourselves at all into that mitzvah, because we don't even understand its importance. For us, it's like, okay, it's not terrible, you don't do it, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes people say, hey, this is not, this is just a minhag, or it's just midrabanan, or it's just this, just that, right? No. If Hashem wants you to do it, wants you to do it, what do you mean? Same thing. So that mitzvah you do, it's a bigger bittul even than regular mitzvah, within mitzvahs itself, so to speak. Because I'm doing it, why am I doing it only because of Hashem? Right? So that's the unbelievable chiddush here, that the power of the action of a mitzvah. Now, of course, the best thing is, the ultimate goal is to bump it up, to promote it, so it spreads to the rest of you, and that's through love and fear and learning and kavana and knowledge, all true. Of course, we have to do it as much as we possibly can, which is not a great level today, but we do it as much as we can. But we learn Torah, of course, also connection to Hashem, all these things, but the actual mitzvah is just bittul, because it's Hashem's ratzon. It's Hashem's ratzon, which we're doing because Hashem sets it, not because we want. Let's learn inside quickly. Says, and explain in a second why this is, right? So, Eina Chayesh, yeah. Elum Yuchud, we said, Elum Yuchud, B'nichol, B'rtzayin Yisborach, it's all part of Hashem's Ratzim, V'oy L'achod Mamash, B'yichud Gomer, and it's connecting to Hashem's Ratzim with a complete oneness. Now, it comes back to what the Yenuka said, that person in the Zohar, and he said, V'hina Inyin Ashras HaShchina, what does it mean when he spoke about the Shchina resting upon us? What does that mean? Hu Gilui Eloikusa Yisborach, it's the revelation of the godliness of Hashem, the oyer itself and the infinite light of Hashem, baruch hu be'ezid over, in anything. Now, what does that mean? So, here's where, let me explain. Here's where it's different to a relationship between people. Relationships between people are very different relationship with Hashem. Why?
Relationship with a person means I get very close to the person. I love the person. Maybe in a good marriage, I'm inseparable from the person, right? But I'm still a person. Still a person, right? Why? Because that person is also still a person. In other words, a relationship is about two independent people who become very close with each other, maybe, but they're still two people, right? And that's okay. That's where it's supposed to be in human relationships, right? That person's not everything, I'm not everything, therefore that person doesn't incorporate the entire world. They're a separate person, I'm a separate person, and the idea is to bring those two separate people together. Good. But relationship with Hashem is different. To have the Shekhinah revealed in us can't just mean that I feel the Shekhinah. If there's still an I there, then it's not really the Shekhinah, ultimately. That's why I said before, even that tzaddik, if it's him feeling, it's not the Shekhinah, the ultimate Shekhinah, right? So he says, so what does it mean, Shekhinah? What does it mean, the revelation of the Shekhinah? He says, V'hayinu lo'im, this means to say, she'oysa davar nichlal bo'oir Hashem, that thing is actually, to have the Shekhinah means that the Shekhinah consumes you. In other words, that you become part of Hashem's presence. You are completely bottled to Him completely. It means that the oneness of Hashem is there. For the Shekhinah to be revealed means the oneness of Hashem is there. The oneness of Hashem means there's nothing else. And that's why the only way you can have the Shekhinah revealed in you on some level is through Bittul. And the only thing now we can do that we can actually reach that oneness through that one, so the unbelievable Bittul, is a mitzvah. Why? Because he says, I will call Mashalai Batul Eber Mitzius Legamri. If there's not that total Bittul, Ein Or Hashem Sharem is Galabai. It's not the light of Hashem that's resting on you. Right? Again, because what is Hashem? Hashem is total oneness, different to people. That's why relationship between two people, of course, needs also a certain surrender, because you can't, ego stands in the way of relationships. Of course, you have to negate your ego a little bit. But you don't have to disappear, right? You don't have to become totally bottle. Nor does that person have to be, because it's two separate people becoming connected to each other. But when Hashem is, you want Hashem to rest in you, Hashem is, the revelation of Hashem, the Shekhinah, is oneness. If there's still a bit of you left, it's not oneness. Right? That's why in Chassidus, the concept of Bittul is such an important concept, right? At least to understand it, to believe in it. Well, the mitzvah, it actually happens, not in the whole of us, but it happens in the power of action, at least. Right? It has to be total Bittul. You know that story, they tell, it's a Chassidus story. They tell a story about a shtetl, that they, it was a time they invented the train. So it was big news, it was headline news. And sure, they were all talking about it. That, you know, they invented this thing that you have wagons, that you tie them together, and you don't need a horse. It's some sort of locomotive, it's a steam, it's a Weisse. And you think, you know, the old trains, and then that locomotive draws all the wagons. One guy says, sure, it's not true, it can't be, it's impossible. Right? So one day they were building tracks, and the tracks were built through this town, and came the day that the train is coming through this town, through the shtetl, finally, the first time. The whole town went to. So the guy says to his friend, you'll see it really work, it's true. So the train pulls in, being whistling and smoke, and it's a big deal. And it stops, everyone's saying, wow, amazing. And this yid, he's going, he's looking underneath, he's looking at the side, he's looking at the top, he's looking. His friend says to him, what are you looking for? He says, I'm looking, there's got to be a little horse somewhere. A claim of fervor, it must be heard. So Chassidim always telling the story about, you know, we talk about bittul, but then we all said to ourselves, yeah, but a little bit I still want to be around. A little bit I still want to feel myself, you know, a little bit. A small, not big, I understand, bittul, but a small ego, a little bit, right? So that's not the Shekhinah. Then the Shekhinah can't rest. The Shekhinah is resting, has to rest with something that's total bittul. And that's why he says, V'af tzaddik gomer, even a perfect tzaddik, shemizdavik b'av rabba, when he cleaves to Hashem through love, could be an unbelievable love. But it doesn't work. It doesn't really bring the Shekhinah because, I mean, it's a big thing, it's an amazing thing, but that's not what makes the Shekhinah come down. The Yanukah in Missouri is telling us, you have that Shekhinah on top, that's not what's going to keep the flame burning. Why not? Because There's no thought, says the Zohar, that can grab Hashem. What it means, grab Hashem, means not just grasp Hashem, understand Hashem. It means really become one with Hashem. Because it's a human thought. As long as the human thought is still there, you don't really become one with Hashem. Ki amitas Hashem elokim emes. Because the truth of Hashem, who yichudoi ve'achdusa, is His oneness. Which means, shehu levadoi, He is alone, ve'efes bil'odoi mamash. And to get to the idea and appreciation that nothing exists outside of Hashem's reality. That's the true meaning of how we say in Shema, Hashem Echad, right? Not just one God, one reality. There's only one existence. V'imkei, and therefore, Zeh ha'oyev, the one who's loving Hashem, Shuyesh v'lo efes, at the end of the day, he's not efes, he's not nothing. He is something, he's a person, less mashmachot v'sebekval, he cannot grasp Hashem properly. Therefore, the Ein Oir Hashem, Shoyro Mizgalaboy, the light of Hashem does not rest and has not become revealed in him. And therefore, the flame is not burning, the wick is not connecting to the fire. Ella, what's the oil? Not the love of Hashem, not the fear of Hashem, not spirituality, not closeness. Ella alidei kiyum mitzvahs, only through doing a mitzvah. Because the mitzvah is the pnimius. That's the wisdom, that's the will of Hashem, mamish. Belishim has to pony without any concealment, and that's how you're able to connect to that, because it's all about Hashem, and therefore that's total oneness and total bitum. Which again, like we said before, I think it's also got a lot to do with the In other words, there's nothing greater than a mitzvah at the end of the day, because the mitzvah is the total surrender. In other words, it's going out of ourself completely and becoming one with Hashem. Now, again, you need everything else that should spread, but at least the power of action is completely bottled, right? That's why I think also we know that, and it doesn't matter how much you know, how much you feel, how much you understand, just the mitzvah itself is rooted. Now, of course, we have things in Chazal, mitzvah b'loi kavona, keguf b'loi neshama, a mitzvah without kavona is like a body without a soul. That's all true. But at the end of the day, on some level, that action, person can be spiritual about matzah the entire Seder night, and he didn't do the mitzvah. Finished. There's no mitzvah there, no connection. Yeah, you feel spiritual, he's here. But the power of a mitzvah, when he eats matzah, even a simple eat, eats matzah, makes a bracha, eats a matzah, because Hashem said so, he's connected. Because he's connected on a very high level. That bitl is unbelievable, because it's Hashem's will. I think it also has to do with the mitzvah campaign, like the power of a mitzvah. Like they will say, yes, you have a yid. It's not his fault. He grew up in an environment. He doesn't know better. But he doesn't do anything. What's the point of getting to put on tefillin one time or to light a Shabbos candle one time? Because it's an eternal bond. It's an eternal connection, and brings the Shekhinah. All right, next part is a different topic a little bit, and we're going to move into that.